The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
More than 400 complaints about bullying in schools have been made to the Office of the Children's Ombudsman since 2018, with the issue making up almost 10% of all complaints received in that period. The Ombudsman for Children, Niall Muldoon, yesterday told the Oireachtas Committee there's an increase in cases of serious bullying resulting in physical and or sexual assault, and he joins me now. Niall, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we knew that bullying was a problem, whether it's, you know, sending people to Coventry, ignoring them, online bullying and so on. But getting to the point of serious physical and sexual assault, that's something else entirely.
Yes, indeed. And again, the complaints we get are all very serious because people have exhausted the internal complaints mechanism within schools. They've talked to a teacher, they've talked to a principal, board of management, then they come to us. And obviously it's not all of the issues would be at that level. And we don't necessarily look at the rights or wrongs of whether an incident happened. But from our point of view, I think we're finding more and more complicated cases in which schools are uncertain as to what happened, what the thresholds are in regards to physical and sexual contact, what's bullying, what's banter. Those sort of issues are coming up more and more and are much more difficult for schools to handle and to deal with. And I think the statutory services aren't offering as much support as they might possibly do.
Hmm. Do schools have the tools, though, to handle these things? I mean, the idea of expelling someone for really bad behaviour, that's gone out the window. You know, you'll be taken to court if you attempt to do that. I mean, obviously, happily, corporal punishment has gone out the window. What tools do schools actually possess to try to get children, their pupils, to behave?
Well, I suppose that's maybe not in my gift to talk about as well as I could, but I suppose the essence is that expulsion is there. But I suppose when you're looking from bullying, you're trying to work on a relationship side of things. The policies talk about engaging with both parties, the victim and the person who's alleged. I think that's the key to it, is to try and find the middle ground that allows people to come back from bullying on both sides. You've also got to try and create a culture in the school that allows people to speak about it and to stand up against it. And I think that's the sort of stuff that's working more and more around the world. But when it does happen, I think there is that sort of need for extra support. And one of the things I recommended yesterday was the concept of having a therapist available to all primary schools around the country so that there is a professional therapeutic service available. It doesn't have to be one in every school, but just one available to from primary school upwards, so that children feel safe going somewhere and teachers don't have to carry the burden of that sort of therapeutic support to children who are suffering from bullying.
Is it a very uneven picture in schools? I mean, there are procedures laid down for bullying and in some schools they may work very well. In other schools, they may just get a nod, if you like, from the administration.
That's exactly right, yeah. And I mean, one of the things that we're concerned about, and the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child have asked the state to highlight how they gather the data around bullying and how they gather they disaggregate the data. So, I mean, since 2013, there's been a consistent department policy, anti-bullying policy put in place across the country, and the Department of Education checks that there is a policy in place in each school. But those policies can be slightly different in each school and they don't follow through. What I want them to do is follow through and ask each school every year, how many incidents of bullying have you had? What did they relate to? So again, you can start to find out what are the issues. Is it racism? Is it homophobia? Is it sexism? What are the issues coming up and what successes have you had in dealing with those? So that sort of information that had been gathered since 2013 would really allow the department to say, right, we need more support in this area. We need to increase education around certain topics. We need to provide more therapeutic support in another area. And that data is hugely important and we need to start gathering it as soon as possible.
Why is it not being gathered? I mean, is it not if you like, the protocol laid down that it should be gathered?
It's not, unfortunately. I think, again, it's one of those, the byproduct of the anomaly of the Irish system is that the Department of Education can provide the policy, but they rely on each individual school to follow it through. And their oversight just consists of finding out, do they have a policy? And they don't gather the data, because again, if you gather the data, you have to do something with it. And we've been urging the department to do that, because I think it would help you to find out where those inconsistencies are, where schools are struggling.
Sorry,
perhaps.
No, I've just got to clarify this, because it sounds pretty daft, that their level of oversight in the Department of Education is simply to ask a school, do you have a policy? And if the policy, if they say, we have a policy, thanks very much. And that's it. It's over.
Indeed. And that's a question we've been asking them for a number of years, is can you not do further, go deeper than that, make a deeper dive, and again, find out the information? Because again, if the schools that are handling it brilliantly, we could find out about the successes there, but we could also find out about the schools that are having difficulty in dealing with different types of bullying.
The question of out-of-school bullying, though, and this is a difficult one, when the only contact that the victim has with the bully is through the school, and yet it happens after hours, maybe on the way home, or maybe it's cyberbullying. And does the school have a role in all of this, or are the parents supposed to sort it out themselves outside of the school jurisdiction?
I think probably 10 years ago, Pat, you remember that I think there was a lot of argument for keeping the separation between the two things. But I think we all know now, and most schools accept, that if bullying is happening online, that it is something that they need to engage with within the school system as well, because online is happening. They could just as easily send something online during lunchtime or as they come into the school. And indeed, the UN have set up an international day against violence and bullying in school, including cyberbullying. And that was only set up last year. So they're really recognising the concept of cyberbullying within schools and the need to deal with it. And most of the principals have a very good handle on how to deal with that and set up rules. Mm. But it does mean that we need to look at the whole school community. So parents need to be involved. Students need to understand what the rules are and how they can handle those rules and what to do if somebody breaks the rules on them and starts to bully them. And we need to recognise that culture and that sort of whole school community is going to be what's required to prevent all bullying, you know, so that we can start to promote respect and rights for all of our children. We can engage in positive engagement with children, so around the diversities, around the things that are different about them, and ensure that children and parents recognise that in the school, the culture is about respect of all people, no matter what they look like, now, come from, where they are.
Now, you're the court of last resort, really, for people who don't get resolution within the system. So they've tried the teacher, they've tried the principal, they've tried maybe even the board of management, and normally a child would be represented maybe by a parent trying to help them navigate this very difficult issue. And then the complaint might be made to you. What can you do about it? If, you know, it really indicts the school's inactivity, what powers do you have?
Well, essentially, we're looking at how the school handled it. We're not looking at whether the incident happened or what the situation was around the incident. But from our point of view, we need to look at how the school have communicated with the parents, what information they've gathered, how they've engaged with the child, what has the follow-up been, how did they come to their final decisions. All those sorts of areas are things that we can look at and to see whether there's been maladministration or poor administration on behalf of the school. And if there is, we can go back to them and say, listen, you need to look at this again and engage with the parents in a different way, or engage with the child in a different way, or you need to explain your decision making in a much more open and transparent manner. Mm-hmm. So those are the sort of things that children and parents are often looking for, is to make sure, one, that they get an understanding of what's happened, and two, that this doesn't happen again. So we might also recommend a change in policy or a review of the policy in the schools as well.
But do you have any sanctions at all? I mean, if a school is behaving badly and perhaps you get a number of complaints which isolate this particular school as not doing the right thing by a pupil, what sanctions can you impose, if any?
We don't have mandatory sanctions, but we can make recommendations. And also, I have the power to engage with any individual, any organisation I feel it needs to be made aware of situations. So I can, if I'm concerned about a school, I can inform the Department of Education that this is what's happened, this is the report we have. Can you assist the school in some way?
If, for example, a child was bullied by a teacher, what then? And the complaint
ended
up on your desk.
That'd be a professional manner, Pat, so that would probably go to something like the teaching council. I wouldn't be dealing with that one.
But you're the children's ombudsman. If a child's been bullied by a teacher, you are their advocate.
Yes, indeed. And I mean, and what we were saying would be to the parent, listen, that you can bring a professional case if it's in relation to the professional conduct of a teacher that needs to go to the teaching council, and they would deal with it from that point of view. If there's something in relation to the children and the administration around it, we can follow through on that part of it.
Your office identified a failure of some schools to report child protection and welfare issues arising from bullying instances to Thusla. You've identified these schools. What happens then that they didn't do what they are under the law supposed to do?
We didn't say they didn't report them. What we thought is what we're finding is that children and the reportings that have gone through to the schools. Schools are finding it difficult to figure out the threshold for child bullying versus child abuse or assault in some way or other. And I think what we need to do is find a way for schools to get much more support from Thusla around that issue, because I think there's more awareness by many people of the subtleties of sexual harassment. And those things need to be understood at a clear level within schools. And I think Thusla needs to engage with schools to try and provide an understanding of the thresholds that can be met. So there's been accusations of bullying that may have crossed the threshold, and those questions are always something we need to be concerned about. We will always report any concerns we have if we have them, they come to us.
That document, you know, the framework of anti-bullying procedures for primary and post-primary schools, does that need revision? Does it need more clarity?
It absolutely does. I mean, I think it's set out in 2013, Pat, and I think we are in a whole different world now, nearly 10 years later. Cyberbullying was barely touched on. Things like the Me Too movement have changed things. Things like body shaming is happening. All those things need to be considered. And we also need to review it in conjunction with children who are living or going through school at the moment, so they can give a real insight as to what's happening to bullying. So I would urge the government and the department to start looking at reviewing that as soon as possible.
One of the texts from a News Talk listener: my daughter is in sixth class, is receiving texts from a classmate which are abusive and using sexual words, yet the parent ignored the issue even though the text clearly came from their child's phone. So what are they to do? The school said it didn't happen in school, so they're not getting involved. These kids are 12 years old.
Yeah. That's
so what's the next
really
step for those parents?
Situation. Yeah, it's a really difficult one, but I can't see how the school should be or have been made aware of it. They should come involved in some format or other to bring the pupils together and the parents together to try and find a resolution to that. It's not as easy to just walk away from it as a school.
Okay, so the school should not be walking away from it saying it's none of our business, this happened out of school hours. The fact is these kids share a class and that is their point of contact. They may not even know each other if they weren't attending the school, so that is the forum in which this is happening, whether it's outside of the building or not. It is still within, if you like, the framework of these children's point of contact.
Absolutely, and it's impacting their relationships within the school. So there's no doubt that it's going to impact how schools deal with those two children.
All right, Niall. Well, it's a tricky area, and obviously, as you say, one that needs revision, and all schools need to get up to speed, and perhaps that data needs to be collected. But for the moment, Ombudsman for Children, Niall Muldoon, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.